Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hello, IC Medan. Hey, I'm so excited to be with you today. And since I don't know what time of the day or night you're viewing this, let me just say it like this. Selamat pagi, selamat siang, selamat sore, or selamat malam. I know you're laughing at me, and while you're laughing, I'm just going to go ahead and try it one more time. Apa kabar, apa kabar. How is that? Greetings, IC Medan, from my home state here in the USA, Alabama. And I miss my IC Medan family. And let me just say right up front, a great, huge thank you to Pastor Chris and Pastor Carrie. What an honor they have bestowed upon me by giving me this opportunity to come to you via the internet today. I'm so excited. And we're talking about Faster in the series. And I just want to talk about my journey of Faster. You see, it really started right there in Medan in 2018. I spent 2 months with IC there in 2018, and somehow I got connected into Lena's small group. Yes, it was an exercise group. I didn't exercise. I didn't run. I wasn't worried about being faster, and Lena liked to kill me. I actually renamed the life group to the life group that kills. I got in shape a little bit. I got encouraged. I found out I could do some things. When I came back to the States in the beginning of 2019, I decided to start walking every day and jogging, and it wasn't easy. In fact, I came back to IC Medan in August of 2019, and then I got into Tagu and Stella's life group, which was also an exercise life group. Tagu was trying to kill me, but I survived. But it encouraged me even more. So by October of 2019, I ran my first 5K. I've got a picture for you. Put that picture up at this time. There I am. Focused, got my actually won first place in my division. My division was for those that were 55 to 60 years of age, and I won first place. Now this series about Faster, Pastor Chris started this series with the whole idea that 2020's discipline was going to turn into 2021 faster. It actually prepared you to go faster this year. And discipline will do that. It will prepare you to go faster and further than you ever dreamed you could. And that's what I was able to do. In fact, in week one, PC talked about that, that if we'll get direction in our life, it'll help us overcome distractions in our life. And there's going to always be distractions. And hasn't 2020 been one huge distraction? You know, in my wanting to run my 5K, I ran into all kind of distractions. I ran into dogs that were trying to chase me down and bite me. I ran into being tired because when I decided to do this, it meant I'd have to get up every morning at 4 a.m. And some nights I wouldn't get into bed till 10 or 11 p.m. So I would be tired. I had to overcome fatigue. Since I was doing it by myself, I had to learn how to run. I had to learn what shoes to wear. And through the winter months, it would be anywhere from -2 degrees Celsius to -15 degrees Celsius. But you see, I had a vision. And that's what I want to entitle my message today. Focus on the finish. See, my focus was being able to show that picture on Instagram, on Facebook. My focus was making it to the finish so that I could show my grandson. Now, why my grandson? Well, that's another story I'll tell you about in a moment. But see, our finish comes out of Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And here's what Jesus said. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we're living for. That's what we're running for. That's what we're serving for. That's our purpose in life, is to one day stand before our Heavenly Father and hear Him say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." With that determination in our mind, it helps us develop disciplines in our life. See, when I focused on the finish line, I began to put daily disciplines in my life. I began to go to bed earlier. I began to get up earlier. I began to get apps that would teach me how to run. I listened to YouTube videos of other people. I would read stories about other people running. And I began to put those disciplines in my life. First walking, then jogging, and then running. First just 1 mile, then 2 miles, and all the way up to 5 kilometers, I was able to run my 5K. And it's going to be the same way in our spiritual run, in our spiritual race, in the things we want to accomplish in 2021. If we're going to go faster, then we've got to have determination. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, gives us a great foundation for this message. Here's what the Bible says. We have all these great people around us as examples. Their lives tell us what faith means. So we too should run the race that is before us and never quit. Notice, there's people in the stands rooting for us, and then we should never quit. Why? We should remove from our lives anything that would slow us down and the sin that so often makes us fall. Now, there's 3 things from this. The first thing is there's determination. The second thing is that we need fans in the stand. And the third thing is that don't ever quit. I want to turn those around and say them like this. A, don't ever quit. I read a story not long ago about a woman named Florence Chadwick. In 1952, she was a professional open water swimmer. She set out to swim 26 miles through the open ocean from the California coast all the way to the Catalina Islands. 15 hours into her swim, a heavy fog set in and she lost focus of the finish line. Now, there were small rowboats all around her, but when that fog set in, she began to get chills in her body. She began to ache in her muscles. She told her mother she didn't think she could make it. Her mother was in a rowboat beside her, trying to encourage her. But an hour later, she gave up, got into the boat, only to discover she had already swam 25 of the 26 miles. So you got to make up your mind, if you're going to go faster, that you can never quit. Because if you quit, you may be closer to the finish than you ever imagined. Now, the second thing is, you need fans in the stands. You need other people there that have run the race or that is running the race. You see, what inspired me is my 4-year-old grandson, Braxton, the year before in 2018, he actually ran an adult 5K. His father, my son, didn't even think he would ever do it. But he actually jogged the entire 5K and finished the line. I've got a picture of him and my son running together. Well, when he finished that 5K, it gave me determination. It inspired me. And listen, you need other people around you. You need to be in a life group. You need to take opportunities of outreach and ministry together with other people. You need to get on Zoom calls. You need to be around people that will inspire you and that will run with you. About 6 weeks out of my training, I had a friend of mine that was a runner. He ran all of his life. He ran with me. You know what? It was easier to get up in the morning when I knew he was going to be running. While we were running, he would tell me ways to run, ways to breathe. He would encourage me. He would tell me how proud of me he was. You see, we need fans in the stands. We need people that are cheering us on. And the third thing is determination leads to discipline. Now listen, as I set those daily disciplines in my life, in this spiritual race, we're going to have to develop spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines in our life. Some of them are occasional, but they have to be intentional. Some of them are monthly or weekly, but they have to be purposeful. Some of them are every day, and they have to be intentional and purposeful in our life. The very word discipline, look what this word means. Orderly conduct or pattern of behavior. Training that corrects, molds, or perfects moral character. See, most of those days I was getting up all by myself. I was not competing against anybody else. I was just competing against myself. I was wanting to run faster every day than I did the day before. Some days it took me longer. Some days I had to run different courses and make up new routes. And when I did, I would discover that it would slow me down. So I had to try to come out the next day and compete again against my very self. I think Pastor Chris used this verse in week one. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And the Bible says this, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we, you and I, our race is for an eternal prize. It's to fulfill our purpose. It's to finish our God-given assignment in the earth so that one day we can stand before our Heavenly Father at the finish line and hear Him say, well done. Well, I want to give you several of these disciplines that I believe God wants to challenge you with. One of them, the first one is fasting. And I know right now I see, Maidon, you're in the middle of a 21-day period of fasting and prayer. So am I. And I want to just tell you that fasting, though it's not every week or every day, you need to do it occasionally and intentionally throughout the year. Sometimes just fast one day, sometimes 3 days, maybe 5 days or 7 days. And then sometimes like we're doing right now in 21 days. And we don't fast like a hunger strike to move God. No, we fast so that we can recapture our hunger for God. And it's not just food that we put away from our lives. Sometimes we need to put away social media or maybe the music we listen to or the television programs that we watch or what we read. Or maybe even our favorite hobby. We need to set those things aside. And watch this. As we put those things aside, we begin to spend more time with God, more time in His Word, more time developing our relationship with Him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says it like this. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. God is actually seeking for people that is seeking for Him. And when we fast, as we become physically weaker, we become spiritually stronger. As we become less mentally stimulated, we become more spiritually sensitive. As we become less emotionally entertained, we become more spiritually in tune. You see, God's always working. He's the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. And He's always working, even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't hear it. But see, when we begin to fast and put away these things, when we begin to empty ourselves to make room for the things of God in our life, when we actually give up something we love for someone we love more, then we begin to hear, we begin to feel, and we begin to see the work of God in our life. And when we begin to develop that hunger again, and we begin to draw closer to God, it will speed up the work of God in our life, and we truly will see faster things accomplished in our life in 2021. The second spiritual discipline It happens occasionally, maybe every week, maybe every 2 weeks, maybe every month. But it's percentage giving. The Bible calls it tithe. It means 10% of everything God blesses our life with. 10% of all of our financial income, we take it and turn it back to God. And it's not a business transaction. It's not a financial transaction. It's a heart transformation. It's where God begins to take part of our life, our heart, and we begin to turn it back to Him. Jesus said, wherever our treasure is, our heart is. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, says it like this. It says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. You see, we need that reminder. We need that compass. We need that North Star, that every time we get income in our life, it draws us back to say, I'm going to put God first with my finances. And as we put God first with our finances, we begin to say, God, you're my provider and you're my protector. You see, it begins to refocus my faith in God, my trust and my reliance upon God. It removes greed from my life that would slow me down. In other words, it restores my confidence and reminds me God is my source. And every time I percentage give to my church, every time I tithe to my local church, I involve myself into the work of God. I join partnership with God in reaching my world, in reaching the world, in seeing the things that God wants to accomplish in and through the local church. And that is the only thing eternal about our lives. You see, in other words, tithing, percentage given, takes my temporal money and turns it into eternal treasure. That's a discipline that if you'll put it into your life, don't wait till you feel emotionally moved. Make it a spiritual discipline in your life. And as you do, it'll remove things from your life that slows you down. Just like fasting will remove things from your life that will slow you down. When you put these two things together, you begin to build momentum and you'll begin to speed up your spiritual growth, your spiritual maturity, your relationship with God, and the fulfillment of your God-given assignment on this earth. Now, the next two things I want to talk about are very simple and very practical, but they are daily disciplines. They're things you do every day of your life. And here's number three, is you talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. The Bible calls it prayer. We call it prayer, a time of fasting and prayer. But it's really just talking to God. And if you're going to talk to God daily, you need a certain time that you're going to do it. Let me share a verse of scripture here with you from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. So I want to challenge you to do it the first thing every day. The first thing every day. You see, if I put God first, in other words, I tell God, you're going to be the first person I talk to. I get up before anyone else in my home gets up. I go to my secret place and I talk to God and I listen to God. In other words, you not only need a time, but you need a place. Jesus had certain places He went to pray. In fact, when His betrayer, Judas, wanted to betray Him, he knew one of those places. He knew where to find Jesus praying. You need a certain place, and you need a plan. Do you know Jesus gave His followers a plan? We call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it was the prayer plan He gave us. Do you know I actually use 5 different prayer plans in my life? I use one every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And when I use those prayer plans, it helps me to pray for everything that God tells me in His Word that He wants me to pray for every week of my life. And listen, you start where you are. Prayer is simply talking to God like I'm talking to you. And I just start by saying, God, thank you. Thank you that I got a good night's sleep. Thank you that I have clothes to wear and a bed to sleep in and food to eat. And then, Father, I need your help today. I can't do life without you. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me. I need you to correct me. And I need you to protect me today. That's what prayer is, talking to God. The second or the fourth discipline, but the second daily discipline, is you need to read God's word. You need to read God's word. And you need a plan to do that. There's one on the IC Maidan website. Read through the Bible in a year. In 1998, I did that plan, the one-year Bible. Do you know that every year since then, I have read through the Bible 23 times, 15 to 20 minutes a day. This is my pattern. This is my practice. I want to turn it into your challenge. That every morning you get up 30 to 40 minutes early and you start off by talking to God and then by reading God's word. This is the way I say it. I talk to God, and then when I'm reading God's word, God talks to me. You see, God's word has an answer for every question you face, a solution for every problem that you're up against. It has a direction for every decision that you need to make. The book of Psalms 119 verse 105 says it like this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So I talk to God, and then I just say, God, I'm going to let you talk to me. And as I read my daily Bible, I just pray, Holy Spirit, as I read the word of God, let the word of God read me. Let the word of God feed me. And let the word of God lead me today. And I tell you what, God gives me direction. He gives me insight. But let me tell you something else that happens. You remember in our text, there are people in the stands who has ran this race before us. As you're reading through the word of God, you'll read about Abraham and Noah and Peter and Paul. And you'll read their stories. And it's like people in the stands, they're cheering for you. And you get confidence when you read their stories that if they did it, you can do it too. It builds your faith and it helps you to go faster. Focus on the finish. Focus on what matters. Focus on eternity. I tell you, your focus will give you energy and passion to obey God and do the things that really matter. 100 years from now, what is really going to matter? What you're doing with your life, what you spend your days doing, what you're giving your energy, your health, your time, and your money to, is it going to even matter 100 years from now? You're not going to be on this earth, and neither will I be. We're going to be in eternity, and only what we've done for God is going to matter 100 years from now. You remember I told you the story of my son and my grandson. I want to put up two more pictures of my son standing at the finish line with his hand out, and my grandson is going to finish and cross the finish line. But instead of slapping my son's hand, my grandson was so excited, he reached up and grabbed his father around the neck, and my son picked up my grandson and started telling him how proud of him he was. That's what we're living for. The day when we leave this life and we step into eternity, that we have lived our life for God. We've accomplished our purpose. We have fulfilled our assignment. And our Heavenly Father is going to be waiting at the finish line. And I believe, just like my son picked up my grandson, the Heavenly Father is going to pick us up in His arms and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how many times you've fallen, how many times you've given up. Maybe you're watching today and you don't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on a cross for your sins, rose from the dead so that he could live inside of you, change your life, give you a purpose, give you an assignment, give you a focus for the future so that one day you can cross the finish line and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let me share one more verse of scripture with you. It's out of the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. And here's what the Bible says. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. Now watch this. His mercies begin afresh each morning. It doesn't matter where you're at today. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life, how many times you've failed. It doesn't matter that you've never had a relationship with God. That today when you woke up, the mercies, the faithfulness, the never-ending love of God was waiting to meet you, waiting to greet you. God knew you'd be watching this program. And God knew that I would give you this opportunity to surrender your life to God, to accept his love, to receive his forgiveness, to be saved, to be rescued, to get a fresh start, to be born again, to live a brand new life. And you can do it right now. You see, all you have to do is just admit that you're a sinner, that you've messed your life up, that you've been rebellious and arrogant and stubborn, and just ask God to forgive you. Thank him for sending his son Jesus to die for your sins. Tell him that you believe Jesus rose from the dead and ask him to come and live in your life. I want to pray that prayer with you right now. Right where you are, pray this prayer. Pray it in your own words. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. And because Jesus rose from the dead, I receive his power into my life today. Come into my life. Make me new. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Today, I give you the rest of my life. Today, I begin living my life for you, running my race for eternity. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, I see Maidan. Even if you're at home, no matter where you are, put your hands together. Thank God for the people that gave their life to Jesus today. I love you, I see family. I hope to see you soon.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.